Thank you so much. All right, church, take your seats. Take your seats. I got the wife finally with me today. Yay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You did a great job, though, last week. I watched live stream, and it was a great word.
Thank you.
And even though we wrote it together, and I knew what you were going to preach, God was speaking to me last week. So it was
Amen.
A great word. So honored
Amen.
To be here today.
Amen. Amen. I think it'll be a little less awkward today with the jokes. Oh. You know, she said something to me about my jokes. She says they are, people don't know if they should laugh or be offended. And so they sit in silence for the first one. And then when I say you can laugh, then it kind of feels like you can laugh. There's more of those today, folks, okay?
So, brace yourself.
Brace yourself. It's going to get a little awkward, but
and
just
I'll
laugh a little
I'll feel the awkwardness
bit.
Right along with you mm-hmm. as he reads them. We'll just look at each other.
I got a
we'll
great joke right off the bat. I got a verse to guarantee a husband to give their life to Jesus. Sometimes people don't give their lives to Jesus because they don't fully understand everything maybe in the Bible. They don't know who God is very much. But then you read a husband this verse in the Bible, and they'll give their lives to Jesus. Ephesians 5:22. Husband, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. You can laugh. You can laugh. Because that's the verse that breaks the ice for all husbands. You know, the word submit. It's an interesting word. When I was in college, I took this class my senior year. It was a writing level, 400 level writing class, and we went to the first day of class. And for 1 hour, the professor explained to us what we're going to be doing this semester. And he said, to my surprise, "This is the only time we're going to meet. This is it." I was like, "Whoa, that's awesome." Never had a class like this before. And he began to explain to us, you just need to write your 40-page research paper, and before the semester is over, turn it into me in my office. And if you followed all the syllabus guidelines and did everything that I'm asking you to do, you'll get your A. And that's all you got to do. So he dismissed us after explaining to us for about an hour what this paper will look like and how we'll do it. And that was it. We left. And so for the next few months, I wrote page after page, footnote after footnote, recorded bibliography after bibliography, met all the requirements. And the last week of school, I printed that 40-page paper off. So clean, crisp, I'm so proud of my work. I slipped it into my book bag, perfectly crisp and clean with a staple at the top left corner, walked to that professor's office, and I submitted my paper. All I had to do was submit that paper to get my A. I had already done all the work, but all I had to do was say, "Here you go." That's submission. It's a lifestyle of give it. That word submit simply means give. Okay? And so sometimes when we preach messages on marriage and we read verses like wives, submit to your husbands, it's kind of cringy. It's kind of off-putting. A wall goes up and you get a little even offended at it at times. But we're going to talk a little bit about this today. But really, the word submission is the key to a spirit-filled Christian lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because you gave your life to Jesus. I wrote this down. You give yourself in worship. You did that today. Mm-hmm. You give yourself to prayer. You give yourself to fasting. It's a lifestyle of giving. And so you're living currently a lifestyle of submission, of giving. All you had to do is just submit that paper. All I had to do. And when he told me, "Submit your paper to me before the semester is over," I didn't get offended. I said, "Okay, I could do that. I can do that." All I got to do is just kind of hand it on over. And I would say the secret, and we'll talk about this more this morning, the secret of marriage. Here we go. You ready? Ever been to a restaurant and you're like, "What is in this thing that makes it taste so good?" And they tell you it's a secret and you wish you knew. You ready for the secret ingredient? The secret to a wonderful kingdom marriage is spirit spirit-filled living.
Yeah.
A spirit-filled living kind of life. Because if you're living the spirit-filled life, then you're given. Mm-hmm. You give yourself to Jesus. You give yourself. And we just kind of give yourself to one another, don't you? You submit to one another, don't you?
As we continue this message, the title of it, if you're taking notes, is Kingdom Marriage. And you think, wow, I want a kingdom marriage. I want God's kingdom to be advanced through this relationship, through our family. We've heard it said before, and the same is true. There's nothing new under the sun, right? Mm-hmm. It takes going back to God's original design, looking at his word. God, what do you say about marriage? God, how have you established this relationship? What do you want me to do as a husband, as a wife? God, how can we be obedient? And so we're just going to go to the basics today. And it already comes from that passage that Pastor Luke mentioned about husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. And so I'm going to dive into this just a little bit and talk about this command, as you mentioned last week, the must of respect. And sometimes, again, you as a woman or as a wife, you hear that word respect, and if you aren't maybe totally yielded to the Lord, or if that's a new teaching or concept to you, kind of cringe or kind of resist. Oh, respect, what does that mean? Well, let's talk about what respect means. If I'm going to respect my husband, I'm going to esteem him. I have a high regard for him. I have a high opinion of him.
Do you?
I have a very high opinion of you. Yes, I respect you. I admire.
That's awesome.
I am considerate of him. I'm attentive to him. That's what God is asking us to do as wives in the marriage relationship. And the reason that God tells us women to do that is because as we respect and obey God's command to do that, what we're doing is we are speaking into his greatest need. The greatest need of a man is to be respected. For women, our greatest need, I need to be loved. And out of that love, I feel safe, I feel protected, I feel cared for. It's a heart need. But for men, it's different. God designed them with the need to be respected, to be esteemed, to be honored, to be given high regard, to have a high opinion of respect. You know, I was thinking back in our early years of marriage when I was a full-time teacher and I was working all day with small children. And as you work with kids, or if you're, you know, a parent at home with kids, you know there's a certain way of communicating with kids. You kind of get down on their level, and, you know, you have a certain demeanor and way where you converse with them and talk to them. Well, I would be in that space all day, and then I'd come home, and sometimes I would talk to my husband that way. Not intentionally.
You want a little cracker?
Well, not like that.
Need a cookie?
Maybe.
No. I'm just,
and he would look at me and he'd say, stop talking to me like I'm one of your students.
Yeah.
And it wasn't intentional. It wasn't something that I was doing.
Yes, it was.
I repent. I'm sorry. I yield.
Just joking.
And so even unintentionally, this can come out in a marriage relationship where maybe we don't realize the way that we're talking to our spouse comes across disrespectfully. But to have the kind of relationship and open communication where husband can look at you and say, hey, I'm not feeling respected. Don't talk to me the way that you talk to our children, or, you know, in that workplace the way that you're used to. And here's the thing that the Word of God is telling us as wives in this marriage relationship. To give him respect. God is commanding us, it's not just a respect for the person that he is, but it's the position that God has placed him in within our marriage relationship and within our home. God has positioned my husband as the authority and the covering over me. So when God's word commands me to respect him, I am respecting God's position of my husband. Does that make sense? So his post, his role, his calling as a man of God who's yielded underneath the Lord, I'm going to respect that position that God himself has placed him in. In Romans 13, it says that there is no authority except that of which God has established. God has established my husband as the head of my home, not the other way around. So when I come under and I yield to my husband, what I'm saying is, God, I honor your order of things in this home, and I come under his position. And as Pastor Luke mentioned last week, he had that illustration of the umbrella. I'm coming under the covering of honoring the Lord and his design for this marriage relationship, and also coming under the covering of my husband, coming under his authority and his position in this. And in 1 Peter 3:6, I want to look at a woman who we find and we discover her in the Old Testament, but it references her in the New Testament as well. 1 Peter 3:6. The relationship between Sarah and Abraham. The way that Sarah honored the position of her husband, the way that she spoke to him in word and in action. It says, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her honey. No. Called him her sweetie? No. Called him her master. Now, it's okay that you call your husband honey. I'm not telling you that. But listen to the weight and the honor and the esteem and the way that she talked to her husband. Ladies, I want to have you do something. Can you interact a little bit with me this morning? If you're sitting next to your husband, will you turn to him and say, I love you, master. And all the way, I just saw someone look at me like, hey, it's in the word. It's in the word. It might be a little difficult because we are having a kingdom marriage. We're not of the kingdom of this world. Out there, they're saying something very different than what we find in the Word of God. When we look at Sarah and Abraham, it says she obeyed him. She called him master, or in some translations, it says Lord, because she is esteeming his position that God has ordained.
You were saying something to me about this verse. You try to find examples of wonderful marriages in the Bible. And actually, it's hard to find good examples of good marriages in the Bible. And we even find that Abraham and Sarah, specifically Abraham, made some interesting mistakes along the way. But we see interesting, I think I see something interesting in Sarah is that she seems to just kind of like do it the right way most of the time.
Yeah.
And it's hard to argue their success. We're actually children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. And there was a song I learned in Sunday school. You know, Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons, had Father Abraham. And I am one of them. And so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So pretty successful marriage. Hard to argue the fruit.
Yeah.
Hard to argue it. Hard to say, oh, that's probably not a good idea to have him and her like this. I mean, you can't argue the fruit, folks. It's there. So we should follow something within here. This relationship is pretty wonderful.
Now, women, we understand, too, that this doesn't mean that the husband just lords over us in a dominating or abusive way where he abuses that role of authority in our lives, because men, in the word, it says that you come under an authority. You come under the authority of Christ in your life. You come under his leadership and his headship. And so, women, as we are respecting and honoring our husbands, it will never contradict what the Word of God tells me to do. If my husband asks me to do something that contradicts the Word of God or what God asks, then I am not subject to that. I first and foremost honor the Lord, and then I honor my husband as the headship of our home because of the order of the things that God established. And I'll just say this to the men, kind of give you an inside scoop. Nothing is more wonderful to me than when I see my husband yielding and loving the Lord as the Lord of his life. To see my husband worship the Lord. To see my husband when I find him in times of prayer. to see my husband with the word open and he's spending time with the Father, when I see him yielding to the lordship of Christ, all the more I want to yield to the position and the post that my husband has, because I want to come under the covering of a man of God who seeks the Lord, draws near to the Lord, worships the Lord, honors the Lord. And so husbands, let that be something for you to just spur you on in your relationship with the Lord. Is as women, we love to follow men who follow God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Great point. One of the things I do here at the church is I set up the lights and everything around the lighting and everything in this room. And these lights are pretty complicated instruments. They've got these, some of them have some very complex computers on the inside. And every now and then, one will not work the right way. And we have all these different strategies and methods to try to get the light to fire back up and work the right way. I remember a number of months ago, there was this Sunday in particular, it's the true story, one of our really nice lights wasn't working, and we've got some awesome team back there, and they tried all these different strategies all Sunday morning long for hours to try to get this light to turn on and work and communicate with the computer back there at the table. And they tried everything, absolutely everything. They opened up the manual. They were Googling things. They were doing all this different complex stuff. And finally, they come up to me after the service over and said, "You're just going to have to look at it on Monday. We can't figure this thing out." So I come in on Monday, and I've got the wonderful opportunity to spend the next half day or whatever it's going to take to try to figure out what's wrong with this light. Can I get it working again? And so I tried absolutely everything that they tried. Things like, I open up the manual. I'm reading everything. What is wrong with this light? I'm restarting the light board numerous times. I'm readdressing the light and giving it a brand new channel and trying all these things. And I came to the same conclusion they had come to. This light's not, it's broken. It's no hope. And finally, I'm just like, why don't I just check the most simple, basic thing in all the world? Is this thing even plugged in? So I went to the Follow Me camera team. I went behind the room back here. I went into this arch and went into the back room, and it appeared that everything had been plugged in until I noticed something. One plug was in the wrong spot. And all of our plugs are labeled back there. And I looked at the plug that looked and appeared to be plugged in to the wrong spot. I unplugged and it was labeled the light that isn't working. And I connected it to the right outlet and it worked. It's not broken at all. It just wasn't connected. And marriages can be complex, folks, and something can go wrong sometimes. And you could try so many different ways to try to get the relationship back to normal, back to the love and affection and peace. And you'll manuals and phone calls and YouTube videos. This was everything I was doing with this light. And you know, therapy and all these things. And sometimes, and maybe most of the time, it's simply reconnecting. Simply reconnecting. And we can try crazy things at times. And we can sometimes, even after doing all the complex, crazy things, want to just throw in the towel, throw it away. I don't want to do this anymore. And it could very well, probably, most likely, maybe, but probably most likely, just simply reconnecting daily, weekly, and routinely reconnecting. Mm-hmm. Once a week, date night if you can. If not, every other week, some sort of date night if you can to reconnect. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up. please have a special night with your spouse. Plan something, men. Something. Do something. Reconnect. It's not too late. As a matter of fact, it's the perfect time. When you go home today, make a reservation at a restaurant for Friday night, not Wednesday.
No.
Come to church on Wednesday. You go Friday night or Saturday night, go out to dinner, go get some ice cream afterwards, reconnect, just have a fun time connecting.
You already made our plans.
I did.
This week, he says, you know what I really want? I said, what? Well, first he always prefaces it with this. Where do you want to go for Valentine's Day? Right?
Try to be polite.
And
where do you want to go?
And it's hard
to know. Do girls know what they want to eat?
How do I know in a week and a half what I'm going to want?
Huh?
Like, I can tell you what I want right now, but what will I be in the mood for Valentine's Day? So the conversation then gets to, well, I'm okay. What do you want, honey? You know what he's.
And I already know what I want.
He knows what he wants. But he's not thinking about a meal. He's thinking about a dessert at a certain restaurant. And so the meal is a means to an end. So he made reservations for us at P.F. Chang's.
Great Wall of China.
He wants this dessert called the Great Wall of China.
Mm.
And so I'm like, okay, well, that's dessert, but what are we, like, what's a dish there you like? And he's like, I'll eat anything. I just want to get to the Great Wall of China. So I hope I'm in the mood for P.F. Chang's.
Reservations made.
But now I can start to get excited. So anyways, you did a great job planning our date. You know, I think about this as he's talking about kingdom marriage. The Holy Spirit cares about your marriage. Did you know that? He really cares about your marriage relationship. He wants you to have a healthy, thriving, fulfilling, God-honoring marriage. And so just as you said, that plugging back in, reconnecting, the Holy Spirit will order our steps in our marriage. Do you find that as you yield to the Lord and you welcome the Holy Spirit in your life, do you know that He speaks to you about the everyday things in your marriage relationship? The Holy Spirit will tell me, say you're sorry. And in those moments, I can choose to yield or I can choose to tune it out. Nope. I was right. He was wrong. The Holy Spirit cares about your marriage. And so asking the Lord, God, help me to tune my ear into the Holy Spirit speaking to me on an everyday basis. Care for Him. You know, even just it's the little things, even. We were on the couch last night, and you said, we had just had some popcorn together, and whenever I get up off the couch, what you getting? What you doing?
Don't leave me behind with this journey in the kitchen.
He wants to know. He wants to know. What are you doing?
No man left behind.
And I had just made, guys, I make some great peanut butter Rice Krispie treats. If you grew up with marshmallow Rice Krispie treats, those are good. But if you're a peanut butter fan like I am, I make a mean peanut butter Rice Krispie treat. So I made those. The kids had eaten them during the day. So I'm getting up to get one for myself. He's like, get me one. And I like mine with a cold glass of milk. Man, are we making you hungry? We're talking a lot about food, and it's only 10 a.m. Yikes. Okay, but he, do you want a glass of milk? No, I don't have a drink. And if I'm going to be attentive to his needs, I could have said, what do you want to drink? What can I get you? But I have a confession to make.
You didn't ask me what I wanted to drink.
I didn't. So we are not...
I noticed that.
I got my Rice Krispie treat and my cold glass of milk, and I'm sorry. I should have gone downstairs and got you the ginger ale because I saw you walk downstairs and get yourself a Canada Dry.
Yes, I did.
Bring it back upstairs. But it's the little things. It's the little things. And can I be honest? I knew I should have gone downstairs and gotten him that drink, but I was tired. I chose myself in that moment. But I'm just saying, we are not the perfect example. That's what I'm trying to say. But listening to the Holy Spirit, He'll speak to you about the tiny things like that. Honor Him. Respect Him.
You didn't listen to Him. To the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're admitting?
I'm making a confession right now. Yes. He said, I'm thirsty. I don't want a glass of milk, and I should have got you a drink. Can I make up for it today?
Yes.
I'm going to get you like two drinks next time. Thank you. Maybe you'll make up for it. But the Holy Spirit cares about your marriage relationship.
Yes, he does.
He will speak to you. Mm-hmm. He will guide you. He'll order your steps. So plug into that source and be obedient to him.
Yes, I agree. You want me to do the next point? Yeah. Or do you want to do the next point? Yeah? I already did my point. Do your point.
As we talk about respecting our husband, ladies, I want to draw our attention to this. Again, you might resist a little bit or think, oh, I don't like how that feels, or I've seen it played out not in a great way. But again, if we look at the Word of God, how a kingdom marriage is established and understanding the role of husband and wife, giving respect to your spouse does not mean that you bring anything less into the marriage relationship. You are not less than by choosing to respect his position and his role. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Wives, we can more easily and graciously follow the command to respect our husband when we recognize who we are in Christ. And the Word of God says, I'm an equal partner. I'm God's gift to my husband. You know, when God made Adam in the beginning, it wasn't good that he was alone, but he created Eve to be a helpmate. There was something missing in Adam's life, and it was Eve. Husbands are, there's a missing piece in their life where as we join together in a kingdom marriage, there is a partnership and there's giftings that the wife brings to the table. And then with the husband's gifting together, it's an incredible kingdom marriage. And so when we follow the command to respect the position and honor our husband, we're not taking a position of, well, I'm just this, you know, little housewife and okay, well, you know, whatever you say, I'll do. No. The Word of God says there's an equal partnership here. And nothing will sabotage your ability to obey or your willingness to obey than an issue of pride. I felt like the Lord wanted to just shine a light on that today. And pride can come out in different ways. It can come out through insecurity. But women, if we struggle with the issue of pride, if we have to be in control, come on. If I have to be right, if I need to be in the driver's seat, if I don't know who I am in Christ, if I am not yielded to the lordship of Christ, if I need to win every argument, if I have a hard time submitting to leadership and those put in authority over me, I'm going to have a really hard time obeying that simple command to respect and honor my husband. But when I know who I am, I can honor my husband in the sight of God. When I'm insecure, when I doubt my worth or my value or what I bring to this marriage relationship, I'm always going to be fighting for the top, fighting to be heard, fighting to be understood. I've heard this said before, and I love this, and this constantly encourages my heart. If you don't know who you are, find God and you'll find yourself. When I am in his presence, the Lord reassures me of who I am, my identity in Christ. And when I'm full of truth and I understand who I am in the sight of God, then I can more confidently walk in this marriage relationship. I can be obedient to come under the covering and the authority of the Lord and of my husband because I know who I am. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to be right all the time. I don't have to win every argument because I know who I am. I've been spending time with my Maker. I've been listening to what he says about me, my worth, my value, where he cleanses me and rids me of those issues of pride and insecurity so I can be a better wife. And again, you might be in a role, women, where you are in charge. Maybe you have a business, or maybe you are running the day-to-day of your house and you are in charge of all of those kids as they're running around the house. But when husband walks through the door, you're coming underneath an authority. And sometimes it doesn't transfer well. We've been in charge all day, or we've been calling the shots all day. But when dad walks in the room, he's the authority in the room. I'm going to defer to my husband. I'm going to ask my husband, what do you think? If a child comes and asks me for something, I'll say, well, let's go ask your dad. In word and in action, I'm going to honor him as the authority of our family, of our home, of our marriage.
Man, we have got a wonderful responsibility on our hands here. And it must be done with love. I there's such an awesome, interesting passage in Genesis chapter 2 where Adam gets the responsibility to name all the animals in the world. And it says that in Genesis 2, verse 19. So the Lord God formed the ground from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. Wow, such freedom given to Adam. But with that came a level of responsibility on Adam's part to take this job seriously. And I think it's interesting that the Lord God of the universe honors the names that Adam chooses to use. God honors that through Adam. What an interesting situation happening here. And then we'll go down to verse 20 in Genesis chapter 2. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, all the wild animals, but there was no helper just right for him. Pretty interesting, huh? God's kind of marching all these animals in front of him, kind of one at a time. And, you know, none of these things are suitable helpers for Adam, and God recognizes this too. And so then what happens is that verse 21, so the Lord God calls the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken from man. So he names her. He names her woman. Now, when we got married, you got my name. You got my name. I had the honor and the privilege to rename her. And with that comes tremendous responsibility. Like I said, God honored the names that Adam chose. When you choose a woman and you rename her, the Lord honors that. And you know who else honors that? The government. Even the government recognizes there has been a new name given, and there's a new title, yeah. Mrs. And now the whole bracket, tax bracket changes. Everything changes now. Everything changes. God recognizes it. The government recognizes it. But men, have you recognized it? Have you stepped into this well? Are you taking the responsibility to love your wife seriously? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. A man once told his pastor, man, it feels like my wife is just crucifying me. And the pastor responded, I thought you wanted to be like Christ. In 1 Peter 3, verse 7, this is a great passage for us. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. That word honor, that word actually means something more, a little bit more than how we would even recognize it. Let me give you a little bit more in-depth into what this word honor means for us, men. It means knowledge, doctrine, wisdom, things we must study. Men, things we must give study to. Well, the word honor actually means give study to this. Find out more knowledge about this. There's a level of doctrine within this honor. Give to it. Figure it out, men. And two things the Bible only tells men mankind to study. Two things only. This is interesting, isn't it? Where is it at in my notes? I can't find it. Oh, the Word of God and your wife. That's what we're supposed to give study to. This is interesting, huh? Husbands, I want to really encourage you to figure her out. Figure her out. She wants to be figured out,
It'll
too.
It'll take a lifetime, but figure her out.
a lifetime of study, men. But men, I think we need to be challenged in this, to step up to the plate, so to speak. Man, I really want to encourage you to be the thermostat in the household. To be the thermostat in the household. When I come home from work, there is a temperature in the home, trust me. With the kids and the wife and how the day went and the attitudes and the moods within the rooms that I walk into. There is a temperature in the rooms that I walk into. I can tell right away if one of my kids had a bad day at school. There's something happening in the room. There's a temperature in the room before a word is even said. Men, we are a thermostat. We sense something's not right. Let's get in there. Let's get into that room. Change the temperature. A woman was staring in the mirror, complaining about herself because she was getting older. The husband sat on the bed listening to her complain, but wasn't saying anything. She looked over at him and said, "Aren't you going to say anything?" He responds, "Well, at least you got your eyesight." This is not what we say, men. This is not how you read the room, men. Husbands, we should be an encouragement to our wives, creating environments where she can flourish through every age. Ever try to do some sort of building program or addition on a home and you had to pull a permit, you had to check in with all these different governmental agencies in order to do something, and all of a sudden you run into restrictions? There's environmental restrictions that you run into, developmental restrictions that you can run into. Frustrating to be restricted. Frustrating to get a lid put on your ideas and your plans and your dreams. Men, if we're not careful, we will just be a simple restrictor. An environmental restrictor, a developmental restrictor in our homes if we're not careful. And as a matter of fact, the Bible actually has a warning to us in Colossians 3:21. If they could put this scripture up, that would be awesome. It says, "Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged." Now, you can aggravate your children, you can aggravate your wife, you can put too many rules into the space, you can put too much restrictions into your home and your household. It will discourage your children, it will discourage your wife. Do not be the lid on what your wife can become. Do not be the restrictor. Instead, be the one cheering them on. Be the one causing them to grow, causing them to flourish. Love them well. Love them well. We have always wanted to have flowers and green blossoming plants in our home, and we can't figure out how to do it. Read the instructions. Sunlight, water levels, okay. In the windowsill, water, dead. It's frustrating, right? You can do, let that be your only thing that you kill. Let this be the thing that goes up and grows. Figure this one out, folks. Study her. Figure her out.
I love how you talk about the thermostat and the thermometer. And something I appreciate about you is how no matter what kind of day you've had at work, you come in and you bring peace This is just a testimony of the Lord's work in your life as a husband and as a father. Brings peace in the room and brings love and joy in the room. And the same goes for him. No matter what kind of day he had, I can tell you make a conscious choice to leave that at the door, to separate yourself from the day and maybe what it was like. And he comes in and he's ready to engage with me, engage with the kids. He's ready to come in the home, and you truly are a thermostat where you bring that, you know, even if there was maybe some challenges that we faced or the kids got home and it was a more difficult day, he is bringing love into the room. He's bringing peace into the room. He's bringing joy. And I know that's been a conscious decision on your part to be obedient to the Lord as he's asked you to do that. And it makes us have wonderful family time at the end of the day, end of your work day, end of the kids' day. Well, as we move into our final point, again, talking about a kingdom marriage, we just have to look one more time at this couple, Sarah and Abraham. Because as we see that Sarah is an example in the way it says in the word, how she obeyed her husband, how she called him master, called him Lord, where she just had this esteem and this respect for Abraham, and of course, honoring the Lord and trusting him. I just want us to look at what happened in Sarah and Abraham's life. And if we're familiar with the story of Sarah and Abraham, we know that, you know, there was a promise of descendants and the promise fulfilled. But if we just put ourselves in Sarah's shoes, Hebrews 11, 11 through 12, I want to read that for you if it's going to be up on the screens. It says, "It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them." Looking at this passage, you see Sarah was a woman who had a need for breakthrough and miracle in her life. She was barren. But when she chose to come under the authority of the Lordship of Christ, when she came under the authority of the position of her husband, when she honored him and trust the Lord, God did a miracle in her life and in that marriage. I think you missed it. I gotta say that again. When we do marriage God's way, when we come in alignment with his design and the way that he established this covenant relationship, when we come underneath the covering of the Lord, we stand in line and in alignment for a miracle to be done in our marriage and in our family. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God can do something powerful and bigger than you, bigger than me, bigger than you when we choose to do this God's way. When we choose to yield our lives and come underneath the things that the Word of God is asking us to do, who knows what God can do? Generations were changed because of Abraham and Sarah and their ability to come underneath the authority and to have faith in the Lord together and follow in his leading. So if there is, I'm just encouraged by this. Is that okay? If there is barrenness in your life, if there is a lack, if there is a desire for a miracle, come in alignment with the authority and the lordship of Christ. Come underneath the covering and become a candidate for a miracle of God.
Amen.
Not just for your family, but for the generations to come. And so as we minister this word this morning, my question to you women, how well are you coming under the authority of Christ and are you following this must in the word? And I even think about this, zeroing in on different areas of our life. You know, you can respect your husband in one area, but choose to not respect in another. Can we just invite you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning and just let the Holy Spirit search your heart? Because you might think, well, yeah, I do respect my husband. Just lay out the pieces of your life before him when it comes to the children, when it comes to the finances, when it comes to the home, when it comes to future plans. Maybe the Holy Spirit will put his finger on something. The Holy Spirit cares about your marriage today. Even if it's something little, submit. I hear you, Holy Spirit. And often for me, it starts with a conversation with the Lord, and then it extends to a conversation with my spouse. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do better. Holy Spirit, I hear you. Even if it's small, you care about it, so I care about it. What a sacred and special and incredible relationship that marriage is. And I want a kingdom marriage today. Husbands, are you a thermostat in the room? Are you studying your wife? Are you loving her? Oh, Holy Spirit, search our hearts today.
Yes, Lord. I wonder if there's anybody even in the room right now, please, with every head bowed and praying, because I wonder if there's anybody in the room right now who needs to give their life to the Lord, to come under authority. Men are called by God to come under him. Women are called by God to come under him, to submit to him, to give our lives over to him. He loves you. He loves us so much. He longs to have a relationship with us. And I wonder if there's anybody in the room this morning who needs to give their life over to God. Could you just slip your hand up into the air right now and say, pray for me, Pastor Lucas. I want to give my life to God right now. I want to pray a prayer. Give my life over to Jesus right now. Raise your hand up into the air if that's you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just pray right now for every marriage, every husband. Would they love their spouse like you love the church, Jesus? Would they take time, even this week, to reconnect, to re-engage, to plug in, to communicate properly? We pray for all these things, all these marriages. Lord God, I pray that all the marriages of Cornerstone Church would be wonderful, shiny examples to generations to come. In your name we pray, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Men, let me really encourage you.